I'm grateful for you guys being here. I cannot tell you how important this topic is, and I know that you think it's important too. Otherwise, you wouldn't be here. And so, I hope I can share some things with you that that will make you think a little bit. But most importantly, I really hope and pray that that you can get something from this. I think that there's quite a bit you can get from this to really enhance not only your understanding, but also I think to become a better parent and to or a grandparent. I think that there's certainly not there's more than
sorry,
one scenario.
This is an adult only section. I don't know how old everybody is in here. Adults only. So.
Okay. All right. Okay. I'm not going to kick anybody out. There's nothing bad in this lecture that would it's going to scar anybody. I don't think. Oh, that's great. Thank you. Yes. Yes. Yes.
Okay. Let me see if it's on this side. Let me see the clicker. Yes. Yeah. Thank you, sir.
All right.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you. Well, let's get started. What I hope to do and accomplish in this short time that we have, and let's see if we can get this working here. If not, I'll just advance it myself. There we go. To be involved, whether it's directly, indirectly, to be involved in raising godly kids, and that's all of our goals. And I don't have to tell you. I reviewed a lot of lectures along these lines, and I will tell you that most of them just have scary statistics, And I have some statistics in here that will scare you and that will certainly provoke you to become more actively involved in communicating with your young people, with your children or grandchildren, whoever it may be. But this is not what this is. This is not that's not the totality of what I want to talk about. And so I want to try to get to the point and try to get some discussion happening. Now, this is even though we don't have a tremendous amount of time, I do want this to be something that's somewhat interactive, and I want to get to really the 12 points that I want to. Want to get to, I think, that are important in really hopefully giving you an insight, giving you some encouragement to begin having the discussions with your kids as soon as possible. I think that's the takeaway. Just to fast forward, that's the takeaway is to you really can't start too late. You can't start too early. Now, a lot of people think sex education or talking about sexuality is something about giving them medical or physiological information, or the conveying of physiological medical information about sexuality. That's the extent of what a lot of people believe this is about. And I cannot tell you that that's not what this should be about in its entirety. And I will tell you this, that if that's all you're doing is basically being a thesaurus and basically just, relaying facts and information that way, that in a way that doesn't consist of a relationship situation, we're not approaching it the right way. So I think the key thing is just in some beginning, just to kind of lay the foundation, many parents focus too narrowly and negatively when it comes to goals for sex education. And what I mean by that is that we're so bombarded with sexual promiscuity, STDs, and of course we all know what's going on in pop culture. And of course, we see as adults, and I think the older you get, the more you see, we see the ravages of illicit and irresponsible sexual behavior in young people. We see it now a lot more than people see it when they're young. And what that does is that it instills us this push to just, pretty much just keep our kids from even thinking about it. And that's not exactly the right approach, but we certainly, when you see what is happening in culture, especially with the myriad of sexual innuendos that are in comedies, that are in PG movies, PG-13 movies, you get to the point where you say, well, we're just gonna like make sure that he just doesn't do anything, he or she doesn't do anything, and of course that's a normal response, but at the same time, that's really not the best response. Teaching kids to not have sex as a primary goal is way too small, too limited, and that's not really the right approach. Now, that should be a part of what you're talking about, but the, But what we want to convey to our children is that sex is a God-given blessing, and that is and within its context and when it's used as it's intended, it's a wonderful thing. But it's intended for a particular relationship. It's intended for a particular time. And I think that sometimes parents go on the attack and they really scare kids away from wanting to talk about it in that regard. So if we stop there, we only seek to protect them by stopping them from doing something because of something negative, when we want to really kind of paint a different picture as far as building a relationship. Now, protecting our children from the physical, emotional, spiritual damage that can result from bad choices is obviously vitally important. But get this, the most important goal, and this is really kind of what this all comes down to, is to equip and empower our children to enter adulthood capable of living godly, wholesome, and fulfilled lives as Christians, men and women, Christian wives, Christian husbands. So that's really what we want to do. And that's more than giving our kids and just basically scaring them with don't lists. Don't do this. Don't you dare do this. And I think that's the approach a lot of people have, and that may not be the right approach. So what should our children understand? What should we be conveying with them? And again, I think I'm going to get to this hopefully if we have time, but this type of communication that we're talking about here isn't a let's sit down and have a lecture. What I'm going to get to and what I'm going to try to convey is that these conversations need to be both formal and casual. They need to be part of our conversation. But because it's awkward, and everyone knows it's awkward, because we're afraid of making our kids squirm, and our kids do squirm when we begin to talk about these things, we sometimes pull back. And I think that's the wrong thing to do. But what we need to make sure they understand is that God invented sex, and sexual union exists for really three purposes. Number one, to produce children. And we all know that. But number two, and again, this is kind of in simplistic terms for the purposes of this talk, but it's to nurture and be the glue that holds a husband and wife together. Number three, it should remind us and point us back to the love of God that He had in giving His Son for the church. And remember, of course, when you read the New Testament, when you read about Paul's analogy in with regards to the bride and the church and Christ being the bride, all those types of things. Again, all those things point us back to a relationship that we can identify with as husband and wife. All right, so our goal is to prepare our children to become the kinds of adults who have deep and meaningful marriages, spiritual, sexual, emotional intimacy, who can have loving and deep family relationships and friendships. Sex is God intended. It is giving over of the astonishing gift of our very selves to another in marital union. That's the kind of concept that we need to convey. Not that sex is evil or bad, even though, of course, you know, when we see that, and again, all of us are in situations in the car when you hear a song come on the radio, or when you pass a billboard, or when you're sitting in the movie theater watching a Disney movie and the previews have these very sexual innuendos that you see on the previews in the movie. You know, we could either just completely not say anything in those cases, but what we need to be doing is taking those opportunities when those events happen for us to say, and again, not a lecture format, but you know, tell me what you think about that. What do you think of that song, John? What do you think about that? Is that a godly message? Is that the right message? You can really begin a lot of interesting conversations, really taking advantage of obviously the bombardment that we're in, looking at the over, you know. Obviously everything centers around sex, of course, in marketing. And when you think about everything from watching, you can't hardly watch a football game on a Sunday afternoon without seeing some type of commercial where there's a overutilization of sex in a commercial. So as He intended, so sex as God intended is wonderful, and we need to tell our kids that interest in sex, not just sex, but their interest in it, is normal. It's normal, especially for teenagers that want to be sexual. I mean, we have the DNA in us, and some of us have the Y chromosome, some of us have the X chromosome. But the bottom line is that, you know, God brought us up to have an interest And God has, you know, God has designed us to have an interest in sexual things and to want to be sexual with someone else. And so knowing that they're programmed that way, we have to make sure they understand that that's normal. But what we have to do is put boundaries around that. And when we don't have boundaries around that desire and around, you know, God's the blessings of making us sexual beings, that's when things go off the rails, is when there's not those boundaries. So we should emphasize that God is the one who made us to desire healthy expressions of what it is to be male or female, and that there's a time for everything. I think that that's a conversation I've had with all three of my kids, is that, you know what? God is preparing someone for you, and that person is going to be someone that you're going to spend the rest of your life with, and that's the person that's going to help you get to heaven. And all of these desires and all these things that are going on in your mind that are hard to put into words, you know, God's preparing that relationship for you to express those. And it's an awesome thing. You know, and that's one thing that I think that we have to be as parents, we have to, I think, convey that, of course, you know, their model of how a marriage works is what? I mean, watching their parents. I mean, their whole concept of how things work. And seeing, you know, and again, our kids at a certain point realize that we're having sex, even though that's very disconcerting, but they realize it. They know it. But they also should see, it should not be something that is, oh, we don't talk about that. Now, they're going to be grossed out if you talk about it in a weird way, but the bottom line is that you should say, you know what, your mom and I have an amazing relationship, and as a part of that relationship that keeps us so close, It's because we're able to express those sexual feelings and those types of things. Yes, sir.
You know, I don't use the word sex.
Okay.
I use the word marriage, fornication, and adultery. And the only one is accepted from God, and it's marriage.
Okay.
And that there's nothing wrong, as you were saying, it's normal for us to have those emotions, those feelings, because God made us those kind of beings, as you
right.
said. But there's boundaries. And out of all the women, I told my boys that are out there, out of the millions and not a billion women that are out there, there's only one that's special for you. And that's the one why God says you are to be affectionate towards one another for a reason.
Mm-hmm.
So that you will not go outside those boundaries. And when you understand that blessing that you have to desire and pleasure one another together in its fullness as God provided for you, then you can enjoy it when you don't see it the way the world sees it. You rejoice in what you're with your spouse, the woman of your youth as
yeah,
says.
Sure.
You know, when we understand that, then you can truly understand that joy, that blessing that God has given you. But because the world has polluted and make it filthy, that's what they think or see because of maybe friends or other influences. So as you're saying, we have to bring God into the picture and how we're supposed to stay to that with that one person. Anything outside of that boundary is evil, and it is wicked, and it is dirty.
Yeah, I think you're right, and I think that the bottom line is that we as parents have to convey the kind of relationship that we want our kids to seek after. And I think that if we have a relationship with them, and I think kids sometimes see bad pictures of marriages everywhere. The bottom line is, I think there's some very important things we need to consider when it comes to preparing our children for this gift that we've been giving, preparing them to be able to give love and to trust and believe enough to commit their whole lives and their whole futures to another person. Folks, that's especially among girls. I have two teenage girls and a teenage son. But, you know, in this society, it's not very popular to teach a young girl that, you know, that you're going to submit yourself to a man someday. Because we live in this culture where, you know, women feel empowered to some extent that's I think that's not all bad, but in some ways it is unhealthy. But the bottom line is that the relationship and the marriage relationship is one where there is it's submission on both parts. So here's the question. If your kids see a relationship in you where maybe only one of you typically are the one that submits, and they see a unilateral submission, folks, that's a marriage that's not going to work. I mean, marriage is about giving It's about submitting on both sides. Absolutely. So when we do this, we can also protect them, and I think that's important. So the benefits of following God are that we're going to prosper in pleasing Him, prosper in obedience, we're going to prosper in marriage. And so a couple things. Prosper in pleasing God. First, they prosper in pleasing God because the greatest benefit of conducting our sexual lives in the manner in which God urges us to, and teaching our children to do the same, is what we can know that we are doing what our Father wants us to do and that we're pleasing to Him. So when we tell our children that looking at another girl and lusting after her is against what God has told us to do, and again, you know, the big question a lot of people come in is, well, what do we tell our children is the line? You know, is sexual intercourse the line for our kids? Is that what we teach them? Well, I'll tell you, there's a lot of kids who go that are members of the church that go through their entire high school years, and no one ever tells them what the line is, or no one ever conveys clearly what that line is. So what is the line? Well, a lot of kids think it's sexual intercourse, and that's why the cases and the percentages of oral sex are skyrocketing. Do you understand why? It's because they don't think that that's real sex, and they think somehow that that's, as long as it's not intercourse, is okay. There's a lot of kids that think that, but here's the thing. They're going to think that unless you teach them otherwise. We have to teach our kids that where the line is when in our minds we start wanting that person outside of marriage. When you even if you looketh upon another woman and lusteth in your heart, you've committed adultery. That's the line. So the line for our children is it should be us getting them to answer that question. We go to the Bible and we have them read those verses and we say, you know what? You tell me where the line is. And have your children tell you. They can read that verse and they can tell you. They can tell you. It's not hard. But the bottom line is that unless you use that as a teaching point and you tell them that, you know, our bodies are made such that when we, you know, when we become excited, we're not, God made us in such a manner that we weren't intended to stop. Does that make sense? So putting, you know, again, I think telling your kids not to put them in a self in a situation where number one, they're not going to lust after someone else, but putting them in a position where they can stop. And the best way, the easiest way to stop is to not get started. and I think that we need to tell our children, there's no question that is, those desires aren't evil. Those desires to want to touch, those desires to want to be sexual are the part of our DNA, but when we cross that line outside of the bounds of marriage, that's when emotional problems happen, and that's when, of course, when things go bad. So Scripture promises thus that in obedience and living as God wishes, our faith can be completed or perfected. So when you read John chapter 14, verses 15, and then chapter 21, I've kind of pulled them all together. If you love me, you'll obey what I command. And Jesus said himself, and again, I think this is the verse that we really need to think about. Jesus says himself, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. And I tell you that whoever looketh upon a woman and lusteth in her heart has committed adultery. And again, I think that's where we need to convey, that's the line. And in order for us to be perfected in faith, we have to submit ourselves to obedience to him. And I think that, you know, again, kids, what are kids' perceptions of religion and rules? It's kind of like the Ten Commandments. But I think that we need to turn that around, you know, and convey to them, you know, why is it that you think God gave us this commandment? Why do you think God wants the sexual expression to be confined within marriage? Do you think it's because he's basically, you know, trying to be a grueling taskmaster and he wants to limit our satisfaction and he's trying to make our life here miserable on earth? I mean, I think that that's the way kids sometimes perceive that, and we need to turn that around because he's prepared this beautiful picture of a marriage, and inside that marriage, inside that institution, is where those sexual needs are to be met, and when that doesn't happen, it falls apart. That's when divorces happen. That's when bad things happen. And again, I think that if we convey to that God is giving us these guidelines, giving us these rules to protect us because he loves us. He wants us to be holy. So, he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love him and show him to myself. If anyone loves me, he will obey my teaching. My Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. He who does not love me will not obey my teaching. These words you hear are not my own. They belong to the Father who sent me. I think that's the kind of the message we need to convey. 1 John chapter 2. We know that we have come to know him if we obey his commands. The man who says, I know him, but does not do what he commands is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But if anyone obeys his word, God's love is truly made complete in him. So we tell our children that we want the love of God to be made complete in you by obedience, by humble obedience. And as a part of that, that is being disciplined over your body, being disciplined over your emotions. And again, it's not that we're saying that the emotions are bad or evil. It's just that we have to contain them. We have to discipline our bodies to bring them this subjection to God. Okay. So, we prosper in obedience. In living according to God's law, we experience the joy and blessings. And we need to tell our kids that it is a blessing. It is an awesome part about being married. It is an awesome part about being married. We can live without fear of the devastation that comes from illicit sex. And we tell our kids, these things that you see happening in the news, the celebrity who's on his fifth divorce, the rape that happens down the road, all these devastating events that happen, we can say that if we are subjective to God's word, if we submit ourselves to his word, and we utilize sex within the confines of God's, we don't have to worry about those things. That's such a blessing. So sexual activity, of course, among kids is still really high. 75% having had sexual intercourse by the time they graduate high school. 75%. That's a pretty high statistic. I've got further evidence of that and information in that regard. Prosper through obedience. Sexually transmitted disease continues to climb. Teen pregnancy in the U.S., though down compared to several years ago, is still the highest in the developed world. Premarital chastity, marital monogamy, of course, are safeguards against these things. Yet we have to teach our kids that's exactly what God put these things in place for, is to safeguard us. Not against, of course, the physical bad things that can happen, the STDs, of course, all the things that can happen in that respect, which are devastating. But it's the emotional scarring. And everyone in this room understands what happens when parents let a young teenager get in too deep of a relationship with another teenager. I think that's probably one of the most fatal flaws that I see in parenting in the church, is that we become so, you know, enchanted with this idea that our young person is going to meet this beautiful girl and they're going to spend all this time together. And what are we doing? We're creating a monster, really. Folks, there's a point at which kids are just not ready for a relationship. And us as parents pushing that on kids about wanting them to say that they, you know, pushing our kids, oh, don't you like so-and-so? Oh, you should really like them. You should go spend some time with them. I mean, again, I don't think there's anything wrong with friendships, but pushing our kids into relationships and then putting pressure on them to stay in that relationship is extremely harmful.
Well, you're opening the door. You're opening that door for them to fall into that pit. You know, our boys, you know, our younger boys, they just got their girlfriend at 21 and 23. They were told since they were three.
Well, you've done something right.
You know, they didn't have no business because they didn't know. You don't know what it is. And like if you say, those hormones are there. So you pretend. I say, you can go out with your friends and have friends, female friends, whatever, as groups. But you don't go out by yourself, and that's
exactly what we've done. Is we our kids go out in groups, and that's how they're able to go out and have a good time. But my girls have never been on a one-on-one date. I don't think it's healthy, to be perfectly honest. I think that there's a lot of concepts about dating, and there are probably different viewpoints here in this room on dating. It was my choice and my wife and I's choice to tell our kids that, you know, we're not going to allow you to date in the traditional sense. You can go out with friends, but to go out one-on-one with someone. And I will tell you this, again, There are stories of young people meeting when they're in eighth grade and falling in love and getting married, and I think that's great. But I think as parents, we need to not push our kids into relationships, because when we're in those relationships, they inevitably go bad, because young girls and young boys do not fully understand what it means to commit to one another, nor should they really need to fully understand committing to each other in the seventh grade. So I don't think that we should be pushing that, because all that does is put pressure on them to do and act like mommy and daddy does. And so I think that's unhealthy. Obedient Christians are safer from the relational confusion, and this is exactly what I'm talking about, putting our kids in a situation where they're confused, and the emotional trauma that premature and antisocial sexual behavior can cause. But folks, it's not just sexual behavior, it's getting in too close of a relationship with when you're too young. I mean, just God didn't intend that. And I tell you, parents with very good intentions want to see little Junior, you know, get to know another member of the church, and they kind of push him together, and they make it very difficult for them to actually become friends with other people. And again, I've seen bad things happen in that respect. So we're not only safe from bad things, but we also have the blessing of experiencing the good things intended through the gift of sexuality. With sexual activity rates growing among teens, with approximately 75% having sexual intercourse by the time they graduate, it's vital we teach our kids who they are and what our expectations of them. We should be telling our kids from the time that they're born, our expectation is that you're pure, and that you conduct yourself in a way, and that you discipline your bodies, discipline your mind. And again, I think that we tell our if we convey to our children that we love them and that God loves them, and if we as a congregation, as a church, hold our kids to a higher standard in their involvement in the congregation, the involvement in other youth programs, I mean, I think that that's vital. If we don't hold our kids to any, if we don't have any expectations or goals for them, folks, they're gonna drag in, as far as what their own goals are. All right. Third, we prosper in marriage. Sexual chastity contributes to successful marriage. While chastity before marriage is no guarantee of having a good marriage, the evidence is indisputable that a lasting marriage is in most cases more prominent among people who come together as virgins. Now, this is kind of an awkward section, but I'm going to just insert it here really quick, and that is that at a very young age, especially among young girls, there is this mentality about performance. And again, if you don't think the kids talk about this in school, I mean, think again. They talk about it at a very early age, about how good they are at kissing, how good they are at doing this. And so a lot of kids have this perception that I have to practice in order to be good at it. And it's confusing sometimes for kids to think, well, if I wait until I get married, I'm not going to be any good at it. I mean, I know that may sound crazy to you, but you know it exists. A lot of kids have that perception. They have that mentality because, folks, it's everywhere. You can't watch any TV show. You can't watch anything without that being a prevailing concept. So what do you tell your kids in those cases? You know, what do you convey to them? You tell them that when you meet the person that God has intended you to be with, and when you come together in that marriage, it's a learn as you go, and the closer you are and the longer you're married, the better it gets. That's the kind of concept it is. And folks, that's very true. All right. I'm going to have to skip ahead. How do we achieve these goals? I'm going to try in a very short period of time to just convey these just 12 quick points. When should I start? Everyone else is talking about sex in their classes, on the internet, on TV. So you'd better get started now, because sexuality is a cradle-to-grave reality. And we only have a short few years to nurture our children's moral development. So by learning more about child development, we can be better at our efforts with God's design. So for example, a child's sense of modesty can develop as early as 18 months. So we teach our children, from a very early age, modesty, not drawing attention. And I'll tell you, among girls, that is a huge thing. What's the thing right now? Taking selfies. You know, what do we tell our kids when they constantly, when they're looking at Instagram or looking at Facebook and they're constantly looking at these other girls taking pictures of themselves? You know, what is that saying? Do you have that conversation with your kids? you say, you know, why does your friend keep doing that? Why do you think she does that? She's trying to draw attention to herself. And in many cases, they're doing it in inappropriate clothing, or doing it with bathing suits, or doing all this. Why are they so interested in drawing attention to those? Because they're insecure. And the number one cause, I think, of insecurity among young girls is the lack of involvement of a father. If you as a father are not in a loving and in a communicative relationship with your daughter, they're going to seek that love and attention from someone else. I cannot emphasize that any further. Take your daughters, if you have multiple, you know, I've taken my daughters over the years, we've done trips, just her and I. I have a trip that I've been taking with all of my kids. We go to the same place every year, and of course, I travel a lot, so I take them individually with me to a lot of different places. And what that does is that it builds a relationship between me and her, and me and my son, where it gives us time to talk. And you know what? The more you spend time with them, the more they're going to want to please you, they're not going to want to disappoint you. But you need to convey to them that, most importantly, you don't want to disappoint God. All right. So, 12 principles. I'm going to have to go through these quick because we're almost done. Shaping Christian character. Sex education is about shaping character. And it's not just about providing information. All right. So if you leave here and you go, well, I need to give my kids just this list of facts about what's wrong and what's right and all that. So that's not the message. We want to shape character, and it doesn't happen overnight. You start that when your children are babies. You start shaping their character, and again, it's no wonder why a lot of parents don't want to have talks with their kids, is because they don't know what to tell them. Because a lot of parents think that having the talk is about having a fluid concept of the biology of sex, which is, you know, that's not really how we should start the conversation. So sex education should be about shaping a child's character, giving them information that is in part, but only a part. We must also shape the values and attitudes of our kids, shape their worldview. How do you do that? You do that through their school, you do that through their church family, and all those types of things. Their behavior will spring from their hearts, which will be formed by their personal relationship and devotion to God. You raise up godly children that are interested in being devoted and faithful to God, they're going to be a lot less likely to cross the line. How your child responds to pressure to experiment with sex at age 15 or to view pornography at age of 13, which happens all the time, how they handle that is more to do with their moral character than their education about the birds and the bees. We have to build that moral character and build that concept. Principle two, parents are the principal sex educators. Folks, don't let someone else be the primary educator of your children about sexual matters. Please. You don't want to be the second or third person to talk to them, because I will tell you, they're never going to get the right information immediately. If you avoid dealing with this topic, your impact will be confusing, frustrating, unsure, unclear.